Hey, welcome to the E-commerce Gold podcast. This is the show where we speak to founders and operators about their challenges, wins, fails, everything in between growing and building their e-commerce brands. On today's show, we have an ex-aerospace engineer, now CEO of a business with his dad, a long-time pharmacist, and his brother, also a pharmacist, as they fight the big pharmaceutical brands to bring a better-for-you pain relief, plant-based pain management system in the form of a cream, in the form of tablets, in the form of many different things to the market, which has been valued at over $100 billion a year. Will they be able to disrupt them? Will there be challenges along the way? How will they bring this to market in a D2C-esque fashion? All of that and more is available on today's episode with Ryan, the CEO of the Feel Good Labs. This show is brought to you by Sendlane, the company that has reinvented email, SMS, and reviews for D2C brands. They are focused on D2C space. They have a modern platform built for now. The team will get behind your business, get behind your brand, and they will help empower you to make the best possible communication for you and your customers. Go and check them out if you haven't already. Link below. And this show is also brought to you by Rewind. You have to install Rewind on your store. If you haven't already, what are you doing? It's an undo button. If you mess something up, you delete something, if you update your products, anything like that, it has saved copies of your site all the time. You can just click a button, restore everything, and not have to worry about messing up. But if that isn't enough, they also offer a staging site. So main site, staging site. It's a carbon copy of your live site, but this one is where you do all of your testing. This one is where you try all of the things out before you put it onto your live site, because as soon as it's on your live site, it can affect your sales, your customers. Do it on your staging site first. Check everything's working, no bugs, no issues, no conflicts. Then move it to your live site. Both of these companies have been hand-selected by me because I think they are absolutely invaluable to every e-commerce business. Please go and check them out if you haven't already. On to today's show with Ryan, the CEO of the Feel Good Labs. I've got a special guest for you today. Can you go ahead and introduce yourself, please, sir?
Yeah, my name's Ryan Gresh. I'm the founder and CEO at the Feel Good Lab, and we're a family business, actually. I work with my dad and my brother, who are both pharmacists, and we make plant-based medicines that really work, but also don't have the side effects that typically accompany products like ours.
Awesome. Had no idea that that was the situation. That is blowing my mind straight away. Three family members, all pharmacists, working together with plant-based ingredients to create natural remedies and ointments. Love it. Absolutely.
Well, the funny thing is, I actually wasn't a pharmacist. So to kind of get into it right away, it's, I wanted to be as far away from pharmacy as I could. My grandpa was a pharmacist, all my aunts and uncles, my dad. And my dad was a conventional pharmacist when I was growing up. So I'm 36. My younger brother, Mike, is 30. What's crazy is he saw a different version of my dad, because we sold the family pharmacy in the 90s when my dad realized he wasn't helping people. Our local community coming in, filling prescriptions over and over again that did nothing to address the root cause of what their sickness was. And he just really got tired of that. And so he opened up the nation's first combined functional medicine practice with compounding pharmacy. Those were very unique at the time, back in the late 90s. Compounding meant like actually making your own drugs, customized for each individual. And functional medicine was this, the art of really addressing the root cause, working with individual patients to understand what was causing these conditions. So my brother saw a different form of my dad. And then he followed in the family footsteps to become a pharmacist. And I actually went off into aerospace engineering for about a decade before I joined forces with them.
No way. Holy, wow. This is going to take a different direction. You've blown my mind here. So let's talk about the pharmacy side first before I get into, is that a Luma? You're drinking a Luma as well? You're so deep.
Yeah. How do you know them?
I've got my end bottle right here, brother.
Oh my goodness. Jaden is a great, great friend of mine.
There you go, supporting the cause. So yeah, because I think you have a different culture to the UK. The chemist in the UK is part of the National Health Service, right? So they prescribe, and you have to get, in order to get any kind of heavy medications, you have to go to the chemist. But in the UK, the chemist is a place that's somewhat avoided by most people because it's primarily part of the NHS. At least you still pay your prescriptions.
they're not great places to be. And I think there's a culture of stiff upper lip in the UK where unless you really need to take something, you probably won't go. Whereas that culture is slightly different, or it seems to be portrayed that way in the US, where it's sort of like there's a one pill for everything and everything's a little bit different. So one thing I wanted to work on is, or understand, is you went down the plant-based route. Was that, I just want to understand why you did that. What were the drivers behind using plant-based ingredients?
Yeah.
And so to be clear, everything we do from a science level, like I'm passionate about wellness and we'll talk a lot about my thoughts on it, but it's my dad and brother who understand biochemistry and they understand all of these different nuances. So what's amazing is we still own our local pharmacy, right? Like I mentioned, functional medicine practice pharmacy. So all of the innovations that come through to the Feel Good Lab, we're just the arm that takes that out and creates the brand to market and sell it to the rest of the world. So I have like the perfect lab, no pun intended, where all of this amazing innovation is happening on the local level with individual people. And then we're able to test it on our community and then take those innovations out to the world. But you're exactly right. In the United States, I mean, we're one of only two countries in the world that the pharmaceutical companies are allowed to market. So we've just seen a boom through the 90s into the 2000s, but the tide is changing. People are realizing that taking a pill for each different symptom you have, and a symptom is way different than a root cause. Like the analogy I like to use, it's way oversimplified, but if you have pain in your foot and you go to a conventional doctor today, they're going to give you a pain reliever. No matter what, you're going to get a pain reliever, but there's something causing it and you might just have a rock in your shoe. There's not typically a lot of diagnosis done to actually find that out. So if you take that pain reliever forever, it's going to stop working. You're going to need such a high dose that the repercussions and the side effects are going to far outweigh the benefits you get. It might take a year or 2 years, but most of the clients we deal with at the Feel Good Lab, because pain relief is most of what we do. We do a little bit of wellness stuff. We work with some athletes on the recovery side, but ultimately pain relief. And we survey our customers, even our customers that are on the healthy side. They've been taking non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like Tylenol and Advil for a decade every single day, right? That's the big problem that we're up against.
Yeah. And you've picked quite the competitor in the pharmaceutical industry, but a worthy fight for sure. Is it, I mean, just in your from your perspective, is it predatory, would you say now? Has it got to that point with these pharmaceutical companies where it's almost 90% about profits and 10% about people? Or is it still, they still have everyone's best interest at heart? Well,
I've become skeptical more and more recently as I look at all this, but I think we're naive to not understand that they are publicly traded companies with a fiduciary responsibility, not for people. The fiduciary responsibility is to make profit. So I'm not saying they're bad people. In fact, most of them are really good people. But the organism and the machine has been perfected over decades, some companies probably centuries, to be a perfect profit-making machine. That's what they exist for. And so it's kind of on us. You know, it's not their fault. They're doing what they're designed to do, which is to optimize profit. If they can help people while they're at it, I'm sure they look forward to that. I'm not painting them as some like, you know, negative, awful, you know, thing. But at the same time, I don't see, you know, during the corporate earnings, much talk about how many people they helped.
Yeah, it's true. They're sort of in the wrong race for, doesn't align with the, what you'd want it to align with as an end goal. You'd want their KPIs and how they get paid to be based on, you know, innovation, saving lives, making people happier and whatnot. In the UK, though, you have the sort of opposite of that, which is the NHS. I don't know how they do it, but I guess they have elected people within the NHS who choose the treatments that are available on the NHS, the National Health Service. So in one part, you sort of just trust that they've made the best selection for you, but they also have a budget. And so there are treatments that are not available in the NHS and difficult to come by because they don't, you know, have the budget to be able to offer them for the general public. So it's a double-edged sword, really. I don't know where the middle ground is. Really tough industry. Maybe it's boutique companies like you who are going to bring out the specific products and re-educate people. So why don't you just give everyone a quick overview of the business and let us know what products you have and what you're bringing to market?
Yeah. So the Feel Good Lab was really founded off of a product that my dad and brother had developed. So like I mentioned, they have this compounding pharmacy where they were actually formulating drugs. And in the early days, they were like on the cutting edge of delivering medicine through the skin. It wasn't just for pain relief, hormone replacement therapies, different things like that. Things that we don't want to interact with the gut, as an example, would be great to deliver through the skin because you can still get them into the body. But in the early days, we didn't actually think the skin was a delivery method. So they've been doing this for many decades and formulating drugs and medicine to get through the skin. Pain is a great area to utilize those skills because you have a localized area. Typically, there's an inflammatory component. But again, when you take a pill orally, your system, your entire system has to process it. And then your entire body has to deal with it. So if you could take some of this potent pain medicine, in the early days, stuff like ketamine, we've all heard of ketamine nowadays. It's kind of a psychoactive drug, but actually has amazing pain relieving properties, specifically when delivered locally. You don't get that psychoactive effect. Other things like ketoprofen, which is similar to ibuprofen. It's got much higher anti-inflammatory properties, but it's way worse on the gut. So if you can deliver it through the skin, you could get these great benefits. And so they became experts in this area. Now, what was funny is they started to look at, you kind of asked this question earlier, you know, my dad's expertise is understanding these pharmaceuticals and the biochemistry. And they started to realize that a lot of the pharmaceuticals were just one change away from the natural products that existed and started realizing that, wow, a lot of these pharmaceuticals are just taking things in nature that work because nature is so complex. Oftentimes it does 99% of the work. It's like, wow, look at this complex thing that interacts with our body in a way to help. Well, we can't patent nature. What we can do is slightly modify it to still get similar benefit and be able to patent that. But oftentimes the natural solution is better, right? We're just changing it so that we can basically make it proprietary. We're not necessarily changing it. In some instances, they may change it to work better. But what he found is, wow, if all these tools are already available in nature, started working more with natural ingredients. So in the early days, they were just there to help the pharmaceuticals. So you'd still get the ketamine or the ketoprofen topically, but you may get some arnica or some turmeric or glucosamine or magnesium, other ingredients that could also help. Then one day he decided to try it without the pharmaceutical. And there was a population of patients that he had worked with for many years that just nothing seemed to work. So they were willing to try anything, especially something all natural, right? And he got this prototype, which turned out to be our natural pain cream. And one patient in particular called back. She called the pharmacy in tears because it was the first thing that had ever worked for her hip pain. Wow. And my dad told this story at dinner. Again, I was an aerospace engineer working on helicopters at the time. I said, Dad, are you kidding me? If we could have this impact on one person, we need to bring this out to the world. And that's really where the Feel Good Lab was born. Now, I didn't understand, this was 2015, how hard that this would be. We have amazing products. Selling those products is 99% of the game, the marketing, the distribution. And I thought just because we had a beautiful, you know, amazing product that worked, that this was going to be easy to go take on those big pharmaceutical companies. It's been a challenge, but it's been a challenge that's very rewarding and something I love waking up to work on every day.
I want to break a bit of that down. I'm really interested in this skin delivery system because, I mean, I don't know, how much do you know about delivering something through the skin? Because when you put on sun cream or you put on moisturizer, or you put on, yeah, like you said, like a deep heat or something similar, you know, it obviously works, but why does some soak in? How can some be used as a medicine? Why does some stay on? Like, can you just get, how does it actually sure. work?
So there's a few pieces to this puzzle. First common misconception. So we need to help products get through the skin, even ours. So we actually have pretty in-depth instructions with our topical products that ask people to clean their skin before applying it. And so if you can apply to clean, warm, damp skin, you can increase the absorption of anything, magnitudes. We're talking like over 10 times the absorption. You've probably experienced that by putting a body lotion on right out of the shower and how it just absorbs really quickly. So there's things that we can do to help the absorption. Also in our formula, there's ingredients like MSM, which I'm not going to try to explain the 20 or pronounce the 20 letter name, but MSM is a sulfur-based compound that really helps to break down that skin barrier and pull other things through with it. So there's a lot of great ingredients. So you look at our formula and there's about 30 natural ingredients. Some are there because they increase blood flow, reduce pain, improve inflammation. Others are there because they help deliver things through the skin. And then lastly, we of course have to have some level of preservative so that we can have about a 2-year shelf life. So it's a balance of when you're formulating to making sure that you hit all of these different things in balance. If it doesn't deliver through the skin to the site you want it to work, it's not going to work. But then if it doesn't have those other properties and we don't look at those areas that are causing the pain, right? The lack of circulation, like I mentioned with the blood flow, the out of control inflammation, and then that immediate pain relief characteristic. So that was really, you know, decades in the making of formulating with these natural ingredients and working with herbalists that were local to us. And so what's so special for me is I get to show up and say, Dad, he's already done 2 decades of work, maybe even more, because those early days of formulating with some of the other ingredients to really get through the skin. But then there's another side to this. You know, anything that gets on our body, there's some level of absorption. You know, the skin is not 100% perfect. So we can do things to help improve the absorption, but even the shower water or the bath water that you use, oftentimes if there's certain things in that water, we'll find if you do a blood test, you'll actually see them showing up because the skin is not as much of a barrier as we once thought it was.
God, I'm not sure whether I like that or not. That's crazy, man. That is crazy. So why did the pill become the default way for people to ingest and take medicines? It feels like that has just become the unanimous delivery system of almost everything apart from injections.
So yeah. However, if you look at the data, the fastest growing segment of medicine delivery is transdermal, but that also includes sublingual, like absorbing under the tongue, or intranasal, absorbing through the nose passage. But, you know, these other delivery methods, it's just like with everything, time is allowing the latest science to kind of rise to the top. And if you can, you know, the whole thesis behind compounding pharmacy is if you individually, Finn, come in, instead of just at a normal pharmacy giving you a pill, that's basically maybe 1 or 2 or maybe 3 dosages we can put you on. We now have infinite dosages we can put you on, and then we can modify the delivery method and the other ingredients to fit you. So it's just really personalized medicine is allowing this to become more of a thing. And then also the pharmaceutical companies are really looking at ways that they can improve. You know, as an example, you might have a drug coming off patent that was taken as a pill. Well, you might be able to get a whole new patent for the next 30 years when you can figure out a new delivery method for that same drug.
Okay. So that makes a lot of sense. How have you found dealing with the similar challenge that vegan and plant-based food products face, in that consumers psychologically are more skeptical around something that's natural or plant-based, in that, especially if it's somewhere around the similar price point, there must be some kind of loss because of that, because we are so trained to understand that chemicals mean potency and power. Same thing in laundry detergents and things like that. It's a real battle psychologically. Mm-hmm. Have you found that as well? I can't really think of an industry where it would be more prevalent than this.
Huge. Because here's the thing. My favorite part of running the business is seeing how my market, again, I was an engineer, right? But I am passionate about marketing and branding. And listening to the customer, I do all the customer service. In fact, when we're a $1 billion company one day, I still want to do the customer service for many reasons. But one of them is you should see how our marketing has evolved because I've listened to the words the customer uses. So when she calls me, right, we call her Battle and Barbara as our main core demographic, and she's 56 years old with chronic arthritis. She says the first thing to me, Ryan, I've tried everything. I don't even have any hope that this is going to work. So that gives us an opportunity because we can explain to her that this is different. But at the same time, you're right. There's a common misconception that natural products just do not work. It's nothing is more true than in pain relief. We actually launched the brand originally and we thought, oh my goodness, people are going to want these plant-based products. We led with that in our marketing. Amazing plant-based ingredients and none of the junk. People did not give a shit. They were like, if this thing works, I don't care if there's tar in it. I'm going to use that with my pain, because we have this quote written up on our wall. It's by Confucius. A rich man wants 10,000 things, but a sick man only wants one. Oh. And it's like when you are sick, I'm sure you've been sick. We've all been sick in the past couple of years, right? With COVID, what do you want? You don't care about doing your podcast. You don't even care about your business. You need to get better. And if you don't get better, nothing else matters. So part of our job, and this might sound a little funny, but I think this is a good audience to explain it. Like early days, I was so scared of the placebo effect. I'd go to these investment pitches and they'd be like, this is just the placebo. Da, da, da. Back then I'd be like, I don't know what to say to that. Now I say, good. I don't care what it is. The placebo effect's one of the most repeatable things we've ever seen in science. If I can help people feel better, if I can help people get out of pain, I don't care what it is. Now, our product is registered with the FDA to make certain claims. I know it works. You don't get thousands and thousands of five-star reviews in the pain relief category if your product doesn't work. It's not just a placebo effect. But imagine what I can do to a customer when I give them hope. When they call me up and they're angry or they don't think anything will work and I genuinely listen to them and I provide different resources and I explain to them the differences, I've seen it work firsthand. So when you can trigger that, it's like whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. So if you think nothing will work, well, unfortunately, nothing's probably going to work. But if we can give them hope, so our first job as a brand is to give them hope. Once we give them hope, now we've got a decent chance of the product working. Now, not everything's going to work for everybody, especially something as complex as pain. And not to get too deep here, but think about how crazy this is, the way we treat pain in our country. It is a one-size-fits-all model. You go to the doctor, they subjectively ask you what your level is on 1 to 10 and how long you've had it, and then they prescribe you something. There are so many different types of pain, and this is something my dad is an expert in. There's stinging pain, tingling pain, shooting pain, stabbing pain. These different types of pain are telling us that there's very likely either a different root cause or the way it's impacting the body is different, but the way you would treat those should be different. That's not what we do here. We typically just determine how potent of a pain medicine we're going to give you based on the number you tell us. And that number is not even measurable. The pain you feel as a 10 might be a 2 to me. We have no idea how somebody else is feeling and how somebody is relaying that pain message. So it is extremely hard to do this, but I get feedback every single day for people that were genuinely changing their life. I get handwritten notes from 95-year-old customers with flowers that they pick from their garden saying that our product has changed their life. And it's feedback like that that really keep me going when things get very tough, because it certainly is going up against these behemoths.
Mm. Yeah. It's an odd premise anyway, pain relief, because it's like your body's sending you a signal. Your mind is alerting your consciousness to that signal. And it's for a reason. It's sort of like if you were sitting in a burning room and the smoke detector was going off and your remedy to that is to go and take the batteries out. It's mm-hmm. like, well, you know, I know the signals exist for a reason. I understand that we're at a point now where maybe something can't be done and it's a mild pain and you just want to get on with your day, whatever that looks like. But I mean, there's something weird about the fact that we just try and suppress our bodies. But I do understand that, you know, if it's chronic pain, you're probably going to go and need to have someone, you know, a doctor really look at it. But if it's something like a headache or, you know, muscular pain after a hard workout, you don't necessarily want those signals if you're just going to be sitting at your desk or doing something like that. So how did you find these elements that make up your product? How did you get to this point where you're like, wow, this is the combination of these natural ingredients that's gonna work?
You are in the D2C space. If you have a brand that's selling online and you haven't at least had a demo with Sendlane, then one of two things is objectively true about you. You like setting money on fire. You like making your life more difficult. If neither of those things are true and you are an e-commerce brand and you are selling online, you do send emails, you do send SMS, you do have reviews or at least like to collect reviews, then there is no reason for you not to at least have had a demonstration with Sendlane. They are built for e-commerce. They are the most modern platform with the best features, in my opinion, at the lowest cost. I mean, I'm not really sure what would be holding you back. Please go and check them out. Show notes below, they have an event coming up. You can still get tickets, I believe, for that event in San Diego. A link to the Commerce Roundtable in the show notes below as well. Please do go and check out Sendlane if you haven't already. Back to the episode.
Well, funny little story with this. So like I mentioned, you know, decades in the making of my dad formulating these topical and transdermal pain relievers in the pharmacy. And it really, the big breakthrough is when he started working with an herbalist. And this was many years before the Feel Good Lab was ever in existence. But then that's when they started experimenting with some of these ingredients. You know, some of them, most people know, magnesium, arnica, turmeric, glucosamine, chondroitin, but other ones are very eclectic. Devil's claw, boswellia, calendula, aloe vera. So it's all about that combination. People often ask, well, what makes this work, right? What's the best ingredient? There is no best ingredient because first of all, everybody's different, but they address different pathways. And what's really cool about nature that's a little bit different than in the typical pharmaceutical model is there's synergies. One plus one can sometimes equal more than two. And when you find those synergies and you can formulate with the right proportions to create those synergies, you can get something that's greater than its whole or greater than the sum of its parts. And that's what I believe we have. Now, here's the funny story. The first prototypes we manufactured in the lab, and we did about a year of testing. So we got them to everybody we could that were coming into the pharmacy dealing with chronic pain. We said, you know, here's your prescription, but why don't you try this too? And we got this amazing feedback, so much so that I quit my job and the Feel Good Lab is born and we're ready to go. And we find a manufacturer. This is after we get our patent. So we've got our formula all done. We go find this manufacturer. Now we had to find an FDA registered manufacturer. So we had to find certain criteria. So we sit down with them to put our amazing formula now into mass production. And the first thing they said to us is, okay, great. Everything has to change. This formula is not ready for mass production. And by the way, it didn't have the preservatives necessary to get a 2-year shelf life. So we had to start from square one. Now, we still were able to include most of the same ingredients and to the similar levels, but we had to go and retest all of this. And it was like, I'll never forget that day of like my stomach dropping out of my body being like, we have this great product, but it's not the product that we're going to go to market with. And now everything's at risk. So now like I'm working on a new topical product. It's going to be a foot and leg pain spray. The first thing we do is we go to the manufacturer and then we bring it into the pharmacy and tweak it because we start with the tools that we know we're going to be able to take to that mass production and then through the FDA for the regulatory piece versus starting backwards where we work up a concoction in our lab and then go and try to find a way to get it to production.
But that seems really counterintuitive. What's the roadblock? What's the red tape that stops you doing that?
The biggest challenge is the way that things are manufactured. Like in our lab, it's a one of one. You know, we can do a decent sized batch, but we're talking like very small scale manufacturing. And we can do things that aren't cost effective. So we can use tools and we can do things that take a long time. When it comes to mass manufacturing, our cost would have been $30 a tube. We needed to get that cost about a third of that. I'm sorry, a tenth of that, not a third of that. So in order to get the cost and the efficacy, it's a balance of all these different pieces. I talked earlier about the balance of, you know, anti-inflammatory and pain relieving and circulation with delivering through the skin and preservatives. There's also a balance between, you know, shelf life stability, cost, and ingredient profile. And so we just weren't thinking of that in the early days. In the early days, we're like, what is the greatest thing we can put together to help? And then when we had to go to stage two, it was really about optimizing it so that it actually could be a business.
It's one of those industries that I think price has the opposite signaling effect. As in, if you walked into pharmacy and you had three packets of products available, all claiming to do the same thing, similarly branded, and you had one that was $10, one that was $4, and one that was 35 cents, you'd probably pick the most expensive one on the basis that that must be the best. That's the only logical conclusion. So I wonder, have you had
I'm going to challenge that thesis because I thought the same thing. And then we got into CVS and Target during COVID. Now, we had originally gotten in, not during COVID. COVID was an absolute killer to us because we're a brand new brand in the category with these beautiful new boxes we developed with our ingredients on the side. Consumers were just not going in looking for new products. So it was a challenge. But I would go there with my mask on and I'd peer over the aisle and I'd look at consumers engaged with the category. I realized because we have a category with 40 other products. In fact, I have some of the competitors here on my desk. There are so many other competitors. It has become a commodity. It's all price driven. So the customer would actually say, every customer would almost do the same thing. It was like teaching me a very important lesson. They would say the price out loud, whether there was somebody with them or not. Sometimes they would look at my product. And at the time, we only had our large tube. It was a big lesson we learned. we now sell a much smaller size at a lower price point. Because you have something like Tiger Bomb comes in a tiny little jar like this. It's sold for $8. It's like 1,000 times more per ounce than Icy Hot is. But you don't realize that because it's the overall dollar amount. So the customer would be saying 12, 14, 28, and they would laugh when they would say our product name. Now, the way we would shift that is we would go and educate the pharmacist, and the pharmacist would say, hey, you should check this out and try it. Well, then all of a sudden the value goes through the roof and they are willing to pay. But if it's just sitting there on the shelf, unfortunately, we thought that was going to be the case. And it's not like we want to sit here and be the most overpriced product because we want to make the most profit. Not at all. Not at all. We want to do everything we can to get as many of our products in the hands of people that need them as possible. But we just don't have the same economies of scale as the billion-dollar companies. And every other product on that shelf, except for maybe one or two, are all billion-dollar conglomerates with insane scale. So they're driving their cost of goods down under a dollar that we'll never be able to get to.
Mm. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So credibility is huge, I can imagine, in this industry. How have you gone about trying to strategically, tactically level up the credibility of the brand and the product?
The biggest thing we do is we lean on my dad, who's just genuinely been doing this for 3 decades. And he's as credible as it gets. And he's very authentic in sharing his journey and helping people. So we lean on him quite a lot. The other thing we do is we find ways to tell our story. So we didn't do great in retail. We will eventually, but we didn't have the budgets, all sorts of reasons. And we could get into the details of what the challenges were. Where we're really succeeding right now is a QVC. I've been on QVC, I don't know, 15 times, I think, in the past year. And we crush. I get 7 minutes on with a host. I get to show how passionate I am. I get to talk about my dad in the third person and show B-roll of him in the pharmacy with me and my brother. And it really resonates with customers because they need that 7-minute story. In today's day and age of TikTok and Instagram, like Facebook and Instagram ads do not work for us. We sell an $18 product that requires an insane amount of credibility and trust, right? Those things don't go hand in hand. So we need to find other ways to do that. And what we found is by relying on other credible people, so chiropractors, physical therapists, doctors that we work with, QVC with the host. When I go on QVC and I have a host that's clearly never tried the product, we sell nothing. When I have a host, and I have 3 of them right now, that are like, Ryan, thank God you're back. I couldn't sleep last night. This stuff is amazing. And I gave it to my grandma who's got arthritis in her knees. And it's the only thing that's worked. We just sell off the shelves because these are people that have gotten the trust and credibility of that QVC watcher. They're almost like their friend. They really trust them. So, you know, tapping into that is everything. And it's funny because we've learned so many lessons, but I mentioned before, we thought that this beautiful box would sell that. It does nothing. Yeah, it looks good. It looks better than the other boxes on the shelf, I think. And it's in a fast growing demographic of natural, topical, like that's what the consumer wants. But without the credibility, none of that matters, right?
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Talk to us about QVC then. That's an interesting, and well, I wasn't expecting it, to be honest. What's the whole process like? Like, I mean, you're on TV for one, it's a completely different style of selling. Just give us a bit of an insider view of what it's like working with someone like QVC.
So it took well over a year for us to get in, and we had so many challenges. We were in, then we were out, then legal kicked us out, then we had to redo all the packaging because their claims and legal process is so tight. I'm sure they've been sued a million times for people misspeaking on air. First time I went on air, I was shaking and just petrified because it's kind of scary. I've done some TV stuff, but not like that and not with that kind of, you know, level. But now it's second nature and it's easy because it's literally just like I'm having this conversation with you. I believe so much in what we do. I think Mark Twain has a quote. It's like, if you never lie, you never have to remember anything. So when I'm just being authentic, I have to be careful about not saying certain things that their legal team will say, like that we're allowed to, but just that on their platform, right? I can't say turmeric is a great anti-inflammatory as an example, but I can just be myself and that authenticity sells and it really sells through the camera. So now at this point, you know, 15 airings in, I just have fun with it. And I've realized it's showmanship. So it's a skill not everybody has. I had to develop it. I think I had some of the charisma. But you, first of all, you meet these hosts, and when they're off air, they're completely different people. But when that camera turns on, they are a 12 out of 10. And they are showmanship, and they're engaging, and they're fun, and they're joking, and they're messing up. You know, like the art of the sell is all about edutainment. They're entertaining first, but they're educating at the same time. And so I've just learned so much by doing that. And now my thought is, okay, how do I scale this? You know, the foot and leg pain spray, which is really cool, is a product they want me to launch. So I'm launching it in conjunction with them. But how do I take the success of QVC? And bad idea for clarity is like, you know, maybe my local news channel in Connecticut, because that older demographic still watches. Maybe I take the most famous news host and I run an ad during the news with me and her doing like a QVC style sell, right? Some of the ideas that I have in order to really rinse and repeat the success of QVC and really relying on that credibility to an audience that's a little bit older.
Well, the open source television is YouTube, isn't it? So have you played there much?
Well, we do a podcast, and that's been fun and successful, but that older demographic really doesn't watch a lot of YouTube. It's not that they don't watch any. Now, here's a dichotomy and a challenge we have. I'm younger, 36, like to work out, play basketball. I know you do CrossFit, right? Like, you are who I want to sell to. In fact, we do have our sport recovery lotion that was actually developed with some of the world's best CrossFitters. We work with a guy by the name of Ben Bergeron, who trained Katrin David's daughter. So early stages, we got our natural pain cream into Ben's gym, and they're lathering up all over their body. And we're like, hold on, guys. Not that it's bad, but this was an intended use case. Why don't we make a product just for you? And that's really where our sport recovery lotion was born. Well, that was a big decision in the business. It is something I love selling to. I'm actually working now with PGA Tour athletes, NCAA national champion basketball players, like some of my heroes. But at the same time, they don't buy nearly as much product as the people in chronic pain, that older demographic. So now we're marketing to two totally separate people. And that's a challenge when you have a tiny team. You know, of really myself, one other person. Then we have my dad and brother who are the brains at the pharmacy, but they're not running the day-to-day operations. So one of the worst things we probably ever did was start to spin off into these two different silos that really you would talk to you completely different than I talked to Battle and Barbara, right?
Yeah, 100%. And it's really interesting that you have those audience types, because it makes sense, doesn't it? Someone in continuous pain is going to be much more motivated to try as many products as possible than someone like me, who when I contacted you about this podcast, I just finished a 24-hour challenge every 4 hours CrossFit workout, and my body was in bits, and then I was just like, okay. And then I found you, and I was like, oh, it'd be great to have you on the podcast. And I was sort of just dreaming about getting my hands on some of your
We don't sell over in Europe yet, but I'm going to send you some after the call. And another area, so there is something we're doing that's starting to kind of merge the two together. And we have this tagline, this trademark, it's called Fight Pain with Wellness. This is our ultimate belief. This is what functional medicine is. It's not a pill, right? It's not one pill. It's how can we improve your overall wellness so that your body can actually heal itself, because our body is the most amazing tool. Now, unfortunately, we're inundated with all of this out of control inflammation and stress and all these different things. So our bodies are not functioning optimally. But that optimal functioning is the difference. It's actually not the difference. It's the similarity between you and the person in chronic pain. Both of you want to function optimally. And the tools that we use to get there are the same. So we have our natural pain cream and our sport recovery lotion. Those are kind of like the Trojan horse. They get you in the door. But then we educate you on other areas of wellness, like a line of supplements that we sell, vitamin D, fish oil, hydration. I know you just had Charlie on your last episode. I've been listening to it. It's so funny because he says a lot of the same things I do. And I actually want to steal one of his quotes, because I say it all the time, but I say it a little differently. First of all, I believe in everything they're doing. We have a hydration product too. I think hydration, he said it's the number one most important. And I argue it's actually number two. And he uses the same reasoning that I use. You can go 30 days without eating. You can go a week without drinking. You can go a couple days without sleeping. And that's just the theory that I use to prioritize. Sleep is number one. Hydration is number two. Nutrition is number three. when I look at my own self. And so if you're not sleeping properly, who cares what you're eating and drinking? Like, that is so important to your health. But then I didn't realize how chronically dehydrated I was. And he talks about it a lot. Their brand mission is something I totally subscribe to. And you need to be properly hydrated. But then you also need the proper nutrition. So the last piece of the puzzle, and something we recently launched that's been amazing for us, is our food inflammation test. And this is really where those two areas are coming together. So what this test does, it's a simple at-home finger prick. Unfortunately, it's not offered where you are in the United States only. But you mail in a blood sample. It takes about 5 minutes at home. You mail it into the lab. And in 10 days, they're going to give us a report that shows individual foods and how they react in your body when it comes to inflammation. And what's going to blow you away is that every single person we've tested, we've done hundreds of these, every single person is going to have at least one healthy food. And I'm using quote air quotes here, because there is no such thing as a healthy food for every single person. Our bodies are unique. Our genetics are unique. The environment is unique. Our gut microbiome is unique. So each one of these foods, when we measured in ourselves, in fact, the person I just gave a report to this morning had avocado, broccoli, all of these healthy foods that were showing up in her body as causing the highest level of inflammation. So what's amazing with this tool is by changing what you eat and reducing that inflammatory burden, you can actually allow your body to start operating more optimally. So instead of fighting inflammation from healthy foods that you're eating, it can now fight inflammation for the chronic pain, or it can help you recover, or it can help you sleep better. It can do the things it's supposed to do. And we realize that most people in today's society are fighting itself because our gut microbiome is so depleted because of all these different issues. So this is the biggest tool we have in our toolbox, and it is a little more expensive. But what's crazy is this $600 test, I'm having an easier time selling to people than my $18 pain cream.
Yeah. So interesting, working with the body versus just like, I don't know how we got to this place, really. We kind of got here with, I think it's all but comes back down to consumerism, doesn't it? Because you are optimizing for profit, and profit ends up being like, when you look at a hamburger or the cheapest foods that are available, they're not, you know, they're food that will suppress an appetite, but they're not usually particularly sustainable in terms of keeping yourself healthy. I was amazed as well about hydration. I mean, I thought I drank a fair amount, but it turns out that that's not the only component of hydration. And like you said, sleep is just so, so important. And we have like other things like sleep remedies, and we have caffeine and all these other things. It's kind of like just, I don't know where we got to with, you know, it feels like eat crap food, work hard, and do that for 30 or 40 years seems to be the kind of norm now, which is a little bit scary. So I'm very happy that this company is like yours, trying to re-educate people, work with the body, and do these things. One thing I'd love you to do, if you can, is I subscribe to one of those blood tests back in the UK. It was one of those monthly ones where they send you a pack and they do your blood work. I've never done one before, and for good reason, because I cannot see blood. I will pass out. And I must have spent like, I don't know how much the kit was, but I think it was over £100 to get the initial kit and subscribe. And they gave you the little finger prick thing, all very well designed. You know, you couldn't even see the needle. Did it, almost passed out, didn't ever send it off, still paid the subscription. So needle way for that not to be the case. But yeah, I mean, coming back to you guys, it is a massive challenge re-educating people. I think people are quite skeptical. Have you found that as well? Like in terms of just any pain relief, there's just so many options. Like how are you going to overcome that? Have you got a plan? Have you got an idea?
I mean, pain relief in general, like it was probably the first ever product created, right? Like, oh, you have a pain, like talk about a pain point. It is the pain point. And snake oil is a real thing. You know, people do sell things that don't work and just trying to make money. And so, you know, the scariest thing, so in the United States, there's 100 million people or adults in chronic pain. And 2/3 of them don't think anything will ever work. And they're not really wrong, because nothing has worked for them yet. So that skepticism is like, I mean, that is pretty much what we're fighting. And that's why the top mission for all of our employees, actually, there's only one right now, so all of them, you know, it's to give people hope. That's what our brand exists for. And that's why we created the brand. And that's why I'm so proud of, you know, what it stands for, the name, the logo, all of that things, because it stands for giving people hope. And even if our products don't help them, at least we can help make them feel a little bit better, a little bit more optimistic by interacting with them in a certain way. And that's what we try to do.
And are you going to follow the playbook?
I imported a bulk import of products into Shopify, and I did not put in the meta fields the created date, and that sent the whole filtering system haywire, because you could no longer filter collections by newest in first or date added to the website, which was a really big problem for this quite large fashion brand. If I didn't have Rewind, that would have been a complete pickle. It would have taken hours, if not days, to sort out all of the while these products are live and really messing up their merchandising. A mistake by me, absolutely. But fortunately, I had the foresight to install Rewind before I made any of these changes. And I was able to just click a button, restore the site back to a previous version just a few minutes before I made that fatal error. And no one was any the wiser. That's the value of Rewind. That's just one use case, okay? One use case. There are hundreds of other use cases. Have it on there, because when you need it, you'll text me or you'll tweet me and say, thank you so much, Finn, for recommending that I install Rewind. You saved my bacon. Back to today's show.
The playbook, the old school playbook that pharmaceutical companies have followed to get where they are, in terms of your marketing and your advertising, your go-to-market strategy, or are you going to try and take, like, you're already doing QVC, but are you going to stick with things like Facebook ads, or are you going to try and find new unique ways, like the news channel you spoke about? Have you got any kind of playbooks that you think are going to work out for you guys to scale this up?
So there's the ultimate playbook, and I don't hate on these guys. I don't particularly love the formula, but it's BioFreeze. You've probably used it before. They are our playbook. We want to do it in our way. But what they did is they started in the clinical channel, building that, you know, like you talked about, having that credibility. But then they screwed over those clinicians and they went retail when they originally told them that, no, we're going to just go through this channel. Well, the reason they went retail is they just sold a couple years ago for $2 billion plus to a UK company, Reckitt. They did that on the back of retail growth, and their retail growth is all, you know, relatively public. You can just see how massively they scaled in the retail market, because when you're in pain, you don't even want to go on Amazon. Now, we do pretty well on Amazon. Amazon's a great area for us to get people to learn about us. But at the same time, the majority of pain relievers are bought in the store at retail, even during COVID. If you're in pain, you're not waiting a day or two. You're going to go buy it in the store. And then it still has that connotation with the pharmacy and the type of product that it is. So retail is ultimately the playbook, no doubt. But we went into retail way too early. We got access to this Mintel report through the University of Connecticut, my alma mater. These are reports that people would typically spend $5,000 to $10,000 on. And every year it comes out with the OTC pain relief report. Well, back in 2019, I think it was, right before COVID, the report came out and said the fastest growing segment is topical. And within that, there's this fast growing segment of natural. We're like, oh my God, it's us. No one else is really doing it this way. And then there was a survey. They surveyed 1,800 people that went in the OTC aisle at retail and bought products and said, hey, would you be willing to try a natural pain cream? We're like, oh my God, they used our name. 88% of people are willing to try the exact name of our product. Like, what are the odds? And then we got access to the actual survey they showed them. They showed them our brand. We were like blown away. We're like, are you kidding me? It would cost $100,000 to get a report to do that, to run that kind of data. So we took that data to CVS and Target and got on the shelf like this. It was easy. It was too easy. Because we're like 88% of people were just surveyed by Mintel, the leading report in this industry, telling you they actually want to try our product. What we didn't know is that at retail, price sensitivity, like we talked about, and you need a lot of dollars to drive people into the store. Products don't just sell off the shelf, but we were too naive. And that was really the last time I celebrated. I was like, we made it. Like, we have done everything we set out to. And it wasn't an overnight success then either, by the way. Mm-hmm. And little did we know, you pay the $100,000 in slotting fees and you do all these different things. It's extremely expensive, all the buybacks and the negotiating. And then we sold okay, but COVID happens, not kidding you, the week we get on shelf, COVID shuts down the world and we're like, what do we do now? So we need to go into retail, but not until we've done our job online. consumers need to be banging down the retailer's door wanting our product. And that's when we go into retail. And then that's when I know we're going to have the hockey stick growth where we could be one of the biggest companies, you know, in the wellness space. I know that we're positioned well. I know our product is good enough. I know our brand is good enough, but it's all about timing. Timing is everything. So we need to do our job right now online by continuing to educate customers, fulfilling through our website, Amazon, QVC, through professionals that build us credibility. And then when we're ready, when the customer's telling us we're ready, that's when we're going to go into retail.
Yeah, 100%. You hear that story. I hear that story a lot. And I hear both sides of it. I hear the nine-figure brands that have gone into retail who all have a very similar experience where they, it's just like that day, isn't it? You get that letter or agreement and you think, that's my job done. I'm in retail and it's only only printing money from here, but it's just such a false gratification because they're not a multiplier for you. You're a multiplier for them. And unless that pans out and pretty quick, it's a tough channel. So yeah, I think you're approaching it the right way. Sounds like you got a little bit burnt, but you got those lessons. So more for you moving forward. I think most
plenty people, of lessons on this end, plenty of lessons.
I think Mike Beckham at Simple Modern lost somewhere near $1 million when he did exactly that in the early days of Simple Modern. But then look at him now. So he learned a lot. Here's a question for you. I mean, your overall sentiment on your competitors, the big boys, if they came to you and said, look, you're doing pretty well, your growth rate is pretty strong, we're just going to buy you. And what they do with your product is none of your concern. They bury you or they try and build out into a new natural space. Do you take it or not?
Well, I'll tell you this much. For the first 5 years building the business, it was an absolute fuck no. Excuse my language. I don't know if you're allowed to swear on here.
Yeah.
But it was the ultimate no. Recently, you know, things have changed personally. Had a child and et cetera, et cetera. And I don't take a salary from the business. I left a very lucrative career. I actually own my own business in the aerospace industry. So now this many years in, I multiply what I was making per year times five. And I'm like, whoa. Now, I still think the answer is no. I do. Because the mission and the reason I've done this, the reason I wake up so excited to work on this without paying myself is one, I believe it's going to pay itself off. But also like people need this so much. And for me to be a hypocrite and talk all this junk about profit and pharmaceutical industry and how we're changing it to just sell out like that, that wouldn't be right. And so what I think I would consider is some sort of possible buyout with somebody like that if they met certain criteria and they were going to do a certain thing with the brand. If they're going to get our product and our brand into more people's hands and we're going to be able to help more people and I get to still be involved to some extent, I think it might be hard to say no. So I've definitely changed my tone on that. But at the same time, I love working for myself and I love having the freedom to do what's necessary. You know, they would never let us do a food inflammation test. No way. The amount of people that I've helped with this has been unbelievable. So, you know, that right now is still the you know, the absolute top of the mountain is how many people we help and how much we help them. But, you know, 5 years in, it's certainly, it would be nice to have a paycheck.
Yeah. Well, you've chosen a really difficult battle to fight, but one that's well worth fighting. But you are going up against conditioning of at least half a century, and you are going up against people with huge pockets. But I think the trend's with you. And I think, like, are we still early in that trend? But you look at somewhere like Huel, the supplement company that we have over here in the UK that's done a tremendous job with their products, which are primarily protein and food replacement shakes. And they're all plant-based, I believe. Don't quote me. They might have changed recently. I don't know. But they at least were all plant-based. They didn't really sing about that. They just did great marketing and built that brand up, and they sold for quite a lot of money, I think. But I think the mission is noble, and I think ultimately that's what it comes down to, isn't it? It's like, what's the best thing that I would want if I could write out what, you know, if I had a pain problem, how would I want to solve it? Well, I'd want all of the things that you offer, and I would want very little of the things that a big pharmaceutical company that's selling me a, you know, very heavily over-engineered product, I guess, if they both work. So I think, you know, it's a decade long venture for you rather than some of these DTC companies that are sort of in and out in 3 to 5 years. So what's the next steps for you guys in terms of getting towards taking that paycheck? What do you think are the unlocks that are going to get you there? Have you got a kind of 1 to 5 year vision of how this is going to pan out?
Definitely. And, you know, we could have raised some money and I could be paying myself. So it's a choice. So don't, certainly nobody feel bad for me. And it all goes back into the business. So we're going to have our best. We've already through 6 months had our best year ever times two. So we're having an incredible year and we're doing so relatively profitable for a company of our size and still growing and scaling. So we've got a lot of great tailwinds with us. The future of our brand. So I've got two theses that I really want to play out. Actually, I'm going to throw a third in there. The first thesis, the most important, we don't want people to need our products. We want to live in a world where people are healthy and feel good. So that doesn't mean you should need to be taking supplements and doing a food inflammation test and using a pain reliever. You should be eating nutritious food, drinking water that has trace minerals already in it. We've depleted our society, so we don't live in that place today. But that's the goal. We want to be an educational hub and a community. That would be the ultimate goal. You know, we don't even care if you buy our products because you don't need them, but you come to the Feel Good Lab because it's like WebMD for wellness. So that's like poster board material, and that's many decades away. But that's, I mean, we used to live in a society like that. Maybe our life expectancy was much shorter, but you know, there was a time pre all of this stuff where people seemed to be relatively healthy and a lot happier. So we want to kind of go back to the simple stuff, right? Eating healthy foods and having a great community of people that make you feel good. But how we're going to get there is kind of twofold. One is, like I mentioned, that fight pain with wellness moniker. So how can we improve people's wellness? Every other pain relief company in the world is focused on pain relief. They're focused on pills and creams and things that you can give to relieve pain. We're the only one doing it in this unique way. And I think that you're right. Like, we're early, but the trend is growing in that direction. And there is zero doubt. The more and more I talk to an influencer today who goes to the University of Connecticut, she's, I don't know, freshman or sophomore. She's got 500,000 followers, and her whole thing is about not drinking and partying, about being healthy and improving her wellness. And she's blowing up. And so the younger generation's realizing how important this is. Okay. So we definitely have a lot to look forward to on that front. Yeah. And then lastly, I don't want to forget where we came from. Like, let's be clear. Our best sellers are our natural pain cream and our sport recovery lotion. And they have way more margin than any other product we sell. So like, that is our bread and butter. So we want to look at like, okay, how does BioFreeze do it? They're the case study. ICI, they all do the same thing. You look at BioFreeze, they have a spray, a cream, a patch, a gel, a roll-on. They've got all these different application methods. But the way they do it is it's kind of like one formula. Even though they're different, they sell them as the same thing in different application methods. Pick the one right for you. I don't hate that. But I have this thesis of niching down. And I think the more you can niche down and offer people the right solution to them, the better you're going to be. So when I first started this, I have a really smart buddy, Dr. Jay. He's an eye doctor. And he said to me, Ryan, what are you doing creating this natural pain cream for arthritis and back pain and muscle pain, all these things? Well, you're too many things. You should make the world's best pinky toe pain cream. And that was the joke. But like, do you know how many people have pinky toe pain? We have thousands of people coming to our website every month that go to a blog for pinky toe pain. I'm not kidding you. It's a huge thing. So if we offered a pinky toe pain cream, people would buy it because it's solving their exact problem. So my theory there is to take these application methods and reformulate specific to ailments that we can better help with them. So as an example, a back pain relief patch, an arthritis roll-on that's hand-free. So it's done in a way that you don't need to rub in the cream. You can actually do it hands-free and keep it in your purse. A foot and leg pain spray that I have here on my desk. So these different application methods, not just doing them to do them, but doing them and formulating them for specific areas of the body and specific ailments that we can really niche down. So now when you come to our website, if you have arthritis, we've got the right product for you. If you have foot pain, we have the right product for you. If you have back pain, we have the right product for you.
It makes so much sense to me. And maybe that's how you can scale social as well. I mean, if I was to come to your website and you would say, hey, we've developed this product with CrossFitters specifically. We understand how your joints are impacted. We understand how your muscles are likely to be fatigued. We understand how these other various elements are because of the type of training that you do. And we have formulated these three products, a daily, you know, daily joint cream, a particularly hard session post-workout recovery pain cream, you know, and those things. I'm like, I'm instantly a customer, right? I'm at least trying it once. And then if it's good, I'm coming back. And that, you know, you can talk to those audiences, fishermen, hunters, you know, hikers, all of these different landing pages, listicles that you could create and ads that come off the back of it. I mean, I don't know if it would work or be worth the effort because of the market sizes, but that would be...
Well, that's what we're doing. So we'll tell you if it's working or not.
Yeah, please do. And then I wanted to know just about the packaging. Do you go with... Have you tested? Because when you go to the doctors in the UK and you go and get your prescription, it comes in a white paper bag, which is quite nice. It's kind of a throwback to the olden times where you got like a white paper bag. And so you still get that. You get a paper clip on the top, you staple your receipt to your bag. And in that bag is a white bottle, usually, or a white lotion with a sticker with a doctor's signature on it and a load of numbers that no one knows what they mean. And that's what you get. And that's what you're used to from the doctor. Now, you're not a doctor, but you are prescribing something that someone might go to a doctor for. So do you follow a similar path or do you go down the other route of flamboyant design? I have seen your packaging, but I just wonder what you tested the other route.
So how we did it and we've had multiple iterations of our packaging. If you came to our office, you would laugh to see like version 1, 2, 3, 4. We're on version 5 right now. They look all drastically different. The one similarity is on day one, we understood the importance of experience. We wanted people to realize this is different. You haven't tried something like this yet. Now, the original packaging were so bad for certain reasons. The first one was $3.50. The second one was almost like a cologne box where it was really thick, like an Apple box. But now we had to ship it from China and you're shipping all that air because it doesn't compress. All these different iterations. When we went to the latest iteration, that was our retail play. So the other ones were really just a direct-to-consumer play. So they had to kind of double as something to ship the product in, but also to be an experience and then educate. Education's a big piece of what we do. So you'll notice if you buy our product today, you get a nice insert with different eBooks that we offer that can help you and educate you on how to use the product and what's in it and FAQs. Kind of similar that you would get with a prescription sometimes. But what we did with this last iteration was we were going into retail. So we have a very crowded category. So we spent a lot of time going into these different retailers, taking photos and figuring out what would stand out. And what we found was nobody was doing the light, airy, minimalistic look. And we did it in a way where we got to keep some of our aesthetic. So we've got like a spot gloss sheen on the packaging and little details that make us seem premium. But also minimalism is premium in today's day and age. And we found that having this kind of white core with a picture of the actual product that was inside, the other thing we had to do was getting our logo big. Our initial packaging had these tiny logos on it. We're like, what are we doing? Our name is one of the most powerful tools that we have. People love our name. So we had to figure out a way to kind of do all these things. And so, but we started with a snapshot of who are we competing with? Right, we have a BioFreeze right here, and they've gone through some package redesigns since we've done this experiment. But they basically went with this dark green, and they create a billboard effect. Icy Hot, same thing. They've got this dark blue with a red and yellow kind of logo. And most of these brands have in common is they pick a color and they put their logo as big as humanly possible. So we didn't want to be too different, but we needed to be different enough. Right. And then the last thing we did is we can't make claims about all our natural ingredients because of the FDA and where we stand. So we wanted to put pictures of the actual ingredients on the side of the package. And that really works well. Now we got to get you to pick it up first, but that's a great way for us to educate people about what's in it instead of just reading this long list.
It's another tough one, isn't it? Like you can't, you're kind of hamstrung with that because you can't make certain claims that you know to be true because of the heavy regulation. So the challenge is the moat as well. You know, it also is a benefit to you guys if for future competitors if you blow up. But can you give everybody listening a challenge, something they can do within 30, 40 minutes? It can be anything. Can be anything related to your product. It can be related to marketing. It can be related to building helicopters if you want. I don't really care. Yeah. Something.
This one comes to mind because it's something that I just enjoy doing, and it's 30 seconds. And when you finish your shower every day, put it on the coldest temperature and count to 30. Because there's many benefits, and we could get into those benefits, and most people know. But here's the ultimate benefit. What I say to myself when I'm doing that, and trust me, some days are really tough and challenging, like very challenging. This is the hardest thing I'm going to do all day. And I'm going to own this, and I'm going to get out of the shower, and I'm going to be invigorated and ready to take on the day. And so by ending my shower with 30 seconds of freezing cold, but having that kind of like overcoming feeling, I'm starting the day on a huge win. Also, I'm getting all those great benefits, right? There's so many different reasons to do it, but even just the mindset piece is just huge for me. So 30 seconds a day, it's free. You're already in the shower. Just make it cold in the last 30 seconds. You're not even taking up any more time.
I like it. I would advocate for that. I do the cold plunge instead. The shower piece, in fact, where I am right now, the water is pretty much cold all the time anyway. So all right, man. I mean, there's been far more eye-opening than I thought it would be. In fact, I love the story. I think the product's fantastic. I know you're in the thick of it right now with lots of different things, trying to scale up an e-commerce business and a retail business. But hopefully we can talk again in a few years' time and everything will have panned out for you. And yeah, awesome product. I hope I can get my hands on some because I really
I'm going to be sending you some as soon as you give me your address after this.
Yeah, legend. I will look out for you on QVC as well. Where can we find like an episode of QVC with you on it?
Yeah, go to QVC.com, search the Feel Good Lab. And I'll tell you one thing that's challenging. We have amazing reviews on Amazon. That QVC customer is tough. I think I'm at 3.5 stars right now. We have plenty of great reviews. But man, when that product doesn't work, they let you know. Some of them get mad at the temperature. They live in Texas and they get a product delivered and it's hot. And they leave me a 1-star review because the product's hot. You know, so it's challenging to win over that customer. And I also, we're talking about like 5 negative reviews. But it kind of takes over that experience. And I go on every day and check, and it just is like a gut punch because I know we're helping. We've sold at this point 20,000 units. No, 40,000 units because there's 2 units per kit on our QVC. So we've sold a ton of product, you know, and we've got a handful of negative reviews that are on there that kind of eat me away. But if you go on there, you can see my latest airing. I'll be doing another one probably any day now.
Yeah, you're selling miracles, aren't you? You're not selling. I mean, what you're promising is a phenomenal promise to make to someone. Pain relief is a huge, huge thing to be able to say broad when you have no understanding of what's causing that pain. You know, pain has been proven to be mental in some people as well. We talked about placebo and we talked about all of these things. Like, it's a massively dynamic and challenging category for you to then say, hey, we've got a solution and we've put it in a bottle for 1 million people. It's going to work for all of you. Of course, it's a tough. I mean, that's what I'm saying. These pharmaceutical companies that are at the very top of this, they're worth a lot of money. They've cracked the code and they've stuck with it. Getting there, wow, you're going to learn a hell of a lot. You've picked a lot of battles, but, you know, also more credit to you. I think you've got everything going for you guys. So I'm rooting for you. I hope everyone else is. Where can we pick up a bottle? What's the most profitable place for any listeners for you to go and pick up a bottle?
Yeah, the feelgoodlab.com is the best place, and you'll probably get a handwritten note from me. So we love surprise and delight. We love really taking care of our customers, letting them know that we're here for them, even if they need to return the product. So the feelgoodlab.com, we're still shipping products out of my house. I just packed some up right now. So that's my favorite place, but Amazon's always helpful too.
And that's all for this week, folks. Thank you very much for tuning in and for sticking around to the end. You're obviously very passionate about e-commerce, and I absolutely appreciate you listening in to the show, and I hope that you have a fantastic rest of your week and took some tips from this episode that you may or may not be able to implement into your business, or at least maybe something that challenged your thought or sparked something inside of you and gave you a bit of motivation. This show was brought to you by Rewind and Senvay. Please check them out. The links are in the show notes below, or just give them a Google. I've been Finn, and we will see you next week.